Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. We are in our new series called I Would Believe But. And every single one of us at one time or another, you know, we had a hang up. We had some sort of hang up that we got hung up on that really became a barrier or a border from us believing in God, right? Like, I really want to believe. I really want to follow God. You know, I'm all for so many things that God, you know, says in the Bible and that Jesus teaches and that the apostles and the disciples write about. But I got this hang up, I've got this thing, and I'm not all in, I'm not convinced, I'm still a little bit on the fence because of fill in the blank. And for us, many times, it can be all kinds of different things. We've talked about, you know, all the way from, you know, God's kind of, you know, let me down at times in my life, to different aspects. But one came to mind as I was at teen camp this week. You know, if you don't know anything about teen camp, it's for teens, and so at times it can be a bit dramatic, not to diss the teenagers, but it can be a bit dramatic, it can be a bit emotional, you know. But as I was sitting there with our teenagers and all these, you know, 100 other teens as well, and I'm watching as the worship service goes on. And pretty much every night, you know, kids are going down to the altar, and there's crying, and you know, there's hugs, and you're my best friend, you know, and all kinds of stuff like this. And apparently I'm rubbing off on our kids because they didn't move. I don't know what that was about. But so here we were, very stoic looking. But I recalled one memory of mine actually at that same camp that I had as a teenager that I still remember to this day. I think it was my junior year. So if you don't know anything about church camp, every night's a little bit emotional, but Thursday night, it's like teen camp on steroids, okay? So Thursday night, I call it the Thursday night special. It's the last night of camp. It's the last service, so the preacher really brings it, makes you feel bad about yourself, right? And then, you know, everybody's emotional because, you know, they're tired. It's the last week of camp. They're sunburnt. They're dehydrated. So, you know, it's basically like they're on LSD or something. I mean, I wouldn't know, but they're just disoriented and stuff. And then it's the last night, so it's the last night with their camp girlfriend, their camp boyfriend. And it's just, you know, it's just real, real big. And so this one Thursday night, because this always happens every Thursday night, everybody goes down to the altar. Everybody goes down. I mean, it's just a given. It's just going to be a cry fest. Service is going to go longer. And so I remember being a junior and that Thursday night coming, the preacher preached on commitment and was like, are you really committed to God? Show me that you're committed to God. You know, the band came up. They sang, you know, sang the most emotional song that there was, which I think back then was like How He Loves or something like that. And so they play, and I mean everybody, man, everybody just runs down to the altar. Everybody goes down to the altar. Everybody's boohooing. And literally, there's nobody in the seats but me. I am the one, literally, the one. I mean, I'm the one and only, no lie. Just standing there, and I'm standing there like this. You know? And so everybody's boohooing and everything, and then they look back. They look back at me from the altar with tears in their eyes. And they're like, come on, come on, come on. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. And so I just stood there. I literally did. I just stood there and just kind of watched and everything, you know? And I mean, everybody afterwards, they're worried about me. My counselor's coming up to me. My youth pastor's coming up to me. Everybody's like, you know, wondering if there's some kind of like secret sin that I'm keeping from God or there's something wrong with me. And, you know, everybody's coming and talking to me about it and asking me why I didn't come down to the altar. And I just, the only explanation that I had is I said, guys, I mean, I don't know what you went through tonight. I mean, I've heard that song, but honestly, I've heard it better on Joy FM. I'm a pastor's kid. I've heard the sermon and that scripture preached on like a million times. And, you know, I don't know what voice you heard in your head, but nothing really spoke to me tonight. And all I could say was, guys, I didn't feel it, you know? I don't know what you felt tonight. Me, I just didn't feel it. I couldn't feel what you felt. And I didn't hear what you heard. And nothing spoke to me like it spoke to you. And I just didn't feel it. And you know what? I think a lot of us have been there before, right? And what it kind of comes off as is this: I want to believe, but I don't feel it. I don't feel it. You know, I mean, I come to worship, and I've been in a lot of worship services. I go to church, you know, and I watch people worship. You know, some people are closing their eyes. You know, some people are doing the point. You know, some people are doing the window wash. You know, some people are doing the 8 mile. You know, that's what I kind of was doing this morning, the 8 mile. You know, some people are doing the pizza carry. You know, some people are crying, and it's like, not me. You know, I'm my hands are here, is where they are in worship, right? You know, you see people praying, and you hear people, you know, talk about hearing the voice of God. And you hear about people getting clarity and God speaking to them about how important prayer is. But quite honestly, in your life, you want to believe, but you just don't feel it. Because when you pray, it'd be like talking to a tree. Because I don't hear anything. I'm not getting any feedback. I'm not feeling that, you know, that release or that joy or that peace or those answers. When I pray, I mean, it's like talking to a wall. I don't get it and I don't feel it. And then when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to the Word of God, people talk about how it speaks to them, how it's the living Word of God. I go, not me. I don't know what you, man, I read that, and number one, I can't pronounce half the names or cities, and then second of all, I'm really confused, you know? I mean, I don't know how pastor does what he does. I'll tell you how, the internet. But, you know, when he can take something out of a verse and pull it out and make it make so much practical sense, And it makes just so much understanding, and it's something you can do. I read it and I'm lost. You know, I don't get how he does that, and I don't get out of it what other people get out of it. I mean, when I go into these experiences, when I go into these services, I don't feel it. And let me tell you something. First and foremost, you're not alone. You are not alone at all. I mean, like I said, I felt it. I felt it at camp. You know, many, many years ago, but quite honestly, I still am like that today. I mean, it's hard for me as a pastor because, you know, pastors are supposed to be like really spiritual, you know? I mean, we're like wizards, right? And so, you know, we're supposed to be like the most spiritual of like anybody. And I go to these like pastor conferences or pastor get-togethers or even at teen camp, you know what I mean? All these pastors are just holier than thou, and they're just doing all kinds of stuff with their hands and closing their eyes. And me, I'm usually just kind of in the back, you know, just kind of, you know, doing kind of like this. And I'm like, man, you know what I mean? What is it? You know, but sometimes I don't feel it like other people do. And I can't get to where other people get. I'm just not that type of person, and I just don't always feel that. And maybe you've been there too, and what you've really thought is, like me many times, is, am I doing something wrong? Like, am I not praying the right words? Is my heart not in the right place? You know, am I reading the wrong version of the Bible? Am I not doing it long enough? What is it? Because seriously, I want to believe. I want to believe, and I want to experience what other people experience. I want to be, you know, I want to have what people get out of when they go to the altar or when they pray or, you know, when they get so emotional and just, you know, God just kind of overcomes them and, you know, that full of the Holy Spirit thing that we talk about. I want that. I do. But I just don't feel it. You're not alone. And you're not weird. And there's nothing wrong with you. Because I'm there a lot of the times. I mean, I'm there a lot. And this is my job. But it's not just me and it's not just you, but there's been so many other people. You know, Paul even felt like this. Paul writes in the New Testament about feeling this way, about how he felt like, you know, God, are you just kind of talking to everybody else? Why are you so present in other people's lives and why are you so absent in mine? Even Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross said, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why are you not here? Why am I not feeling your presence? I mean, at this most important time in life, it seemed like the most worst thing that was going on to Jesus and through his experience. But not just that, but you know, even David, he wrote this psalm that kind of gives us this picture of what many of us feel. In Psalms, he says this. He says, but I cry to you for help. Lord, in the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and you hide your face from me? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever thought like, man, God, I come to you for help, I pray, I worship, I read the word, but if it feels like you are rejecting me, it feels like you're hiding from me, Because I'm after you and I don't feel it, I don't see it, and I don't hear it. C.S. Lewis, right? He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and many other books, but what he's most known for is his theology that he was able to discover because he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God at all. But actually, being an atheist actually led him to being a Christian. But he even struggled when he was a Christian. He wrote this. He said, it felt like at one point in time in his life, a door slammed in my face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. So there was a point in time in my life where I felt like God just shut the door, bolted me out, and was completely silent to me. And then he says this next. And then he says, and there are no lights in the windows. It might be an empty house. Was it ever inhabited at all? It seemed so once. Why is God so present, a commander, in our time of prosperity, and so very absent, a help in time of trouble? Even C.S. Lewis felt like this when he was a Christian, where he said, I thought God was there. I felt him at one point in time. I felt him when I first got saved. I felt him when I first discovered him. I felt him in that one service. I felt him that one time he prayed. But now in my time of need, probably in the time where I need him most, I am coming back and it seems like nobody was even ever there. And I don't feel it. And I don't hear anything. And I'm not getting any answers. And I kind of feel like the door has been shut in my face and bolted shut. Almost like he's keeping himself from me because he's very present in everybody else's life, everybody else's worship experience, everybody else's prayer life, everybody else's time in the Word. But for me, I just don't feel it. And it made him question once again whether God was real, whether he should believe in God, whether he should follow Jesus Christ. So I say all that to tell you, you're not weird. There's nothing wrong with you. And you're not alone. Even some of the closest people to God have felt that at one time or another and had that hang up and felt like, you know, they didn't get the goosebumps, they didn't get the heebie-jeebies, they didn't feel the need to cry, they didn't feel the need to raise their hand, they didn't feel the need to run down to the altar, they didn't hear God audibly talk inside of their heart or head. It was nothing, and it was silence, and it was numbness from standing too long in the worship service. So what is it then? We're not alone if a lot of other people have been there. So then what is it? Why is it that sometimes we feel God and why is it that sometimes we don't? Well, there are three maybes that I have, okay? Three maybe reasons why you don't feel God. Why maybe you're not hearing God speak, you're not hearing God move, you know, you don't get the goosebumps or the heebie-jeebies or any of that stuff or any of those kinds of impulses, that emotion that you see sometimes. Here's maybe why you don't feel it. Here's the first one. So maybe you're over-sensationalizing it, right? Maybe you're over-sensationalizing it. Remember when you started dating, those of you who, you know, who've been married or have been with somebody at least, you know, for a good amount of time, even some of you engaged people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But remember when you started dating somebody and you got the butterflies, you know? You got the goosebumps. It's like when they walked in the room, ooh, you know. Our boys, by the way, I'm off of teen camp high, so I'm going to talk about teen camp a lot. But our boys are very attractive. And I mean, they are just like chick magnets. Every time I looked up, Camden was with a different girl, you know, from a different church. And so we might have a lot of visitors this summer, okay, because he made a lot of friends. And I may have made some, you know, wagers with them about, you know, let's have a competition, who can get the most Snapchats. But anyway, remember when you were dating or you were at teen camp, you know, and it was, it was all about the feels and everything, you know, and then even, you know, when you got engaged, you know, it was still like that, it was exciting and everything was new, and then you got married and maybe like the first year, you know, you still had a little bit of that fire, you know, and it's just everything, you know, every Facebook post was, you're my bae, you're my boo, you're my John Woo, I don't know, you know, you're just, you are something to me. I don't even know half the lingo. Like, kids, I kept having to Google things the teens were saying this week to make sure it was appropriate because I was so lost. But, you know, it's just constantly, you know, this tingly feeling, these butterflies and stuff. But then we all know, right, some of us who have been married for a good amount of time, what happens? Those butterflies, they don't live very long. I don't know the life of a butterfly, but it's not very long when they live in your tummy, because those goosebumps go away, right? It's like as soon as you learn that they poop too, it's like, there goes the mystery, right? Everybody poops, it turns out, right? Yeah, I'm done. Romance is out the window. Like, you use those lines, you know, you're my bae, you're my boo, you know, to make him sound like you feel so precious, but then it's just, it gets old is what it gets. It's like, get out of my way, I need a cup of coffee, you know, I don't need this right now, you know, and it just kind of wears off, you know, and it, at the first, it starts out all about the butterflies and the moments and the anniversaries and stuff, but over time, it just changes, right? And I mean, like, even with my wife now, man, so I'm celebrating 8 years of marriage to my wife on Tuesday. Go ahead and applause. We'll take a break.
Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't cue that at all. But, you know, I'm celebrating 8 years of marriage with my wife this Tuesday. And obviously I'm an idiot because I scheduled a blood drive on my anniversary. So I'm in the doghouse. So clearly the butterflies are out of our relationship. But, you know, I mean, when I talk romantic to my wife now, it's just completely different than it was when we were in our 20s, you know? I mean, 2 weeks ago, I came up to my wife, and I decided I was going to say the most romantic thing I could possibly say. So I went up to her in the kitchen. I put my hands on her waist, and I said, baby, I said, I want you to know, tonight, I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to give those kids a bath. And I'm going to clean them dishes over there. I'm going to put them to bed. And then I'm going to give you a book and let you go read in the bedroom by yourself. And I'm going to go away. She had tears in her eyes. She felt so loved. We've never been closer in that moment. That's love in our relationship, right? And trust me, like, seriously, 8 years of marriage, I've never been closer to my wife. I have never loved my wife more, and we are best friends. But it's not about the butterflies anymore, right? The feelings have changed. It's more about love and commitment to one another. But, you know, and those feels happen. But the problem is not about the feels, and that's the thing. The feels happen, but it's not about the feels. We know that if you've been married long enough, if you've been with somebody long enough, your feelings change. The butterflies go away. The goosebumps go away. But it doesn't mean that you don't love each other. I mean, you could still love each other even more without the feels. It's not about the feels. It's about more. And I think sometimes that's what we miss about what it means about with a relationship with God and the presence of God, is sometimes we over-sensationalize it. And we make it all about the feels. And we make it about feeling God or experiencing God or having a worship service where we cry or we put our hands up, you know, where it just hits the right heartstrings. But here's the thing. So many times we over-sensationalize it. Many times we overhype it because it's not all about the feels. And here's the thing we need to understand is that the feels can easily be manipulated. I mean, you can get the tingly feeling from seeing a pretty girl or a pretty boy, right? I mean, you can be relaxed and feel calmer and have peace, you know, in a worship service sometimes, but let's be honest, the same thing can be experienced at, you know, massage luxe with dim lighting and warm oils, you know? I mean, it can happen there too. We overhype it and we over-sensationalize it so many times. And God speaks in mysterious ways. He does. I'm not trying to take away the mystique of God. Those times come. But here's the thing too. God is also a real person who spoke through his son Jesus in real practical ways. And sometimes the lessons and the takeaways and the moments with God and the worship services and the prayer, they're not filled with the feels. They're not filled with the goosebumps or the butterflies or the emotions. Sometimes they're practical. Sometimes they're real life, real world takeaways and things that we just need to hear and things that we just need to do. And I'll tell you, If you're overhyping this and looking for the feels and looking for the moments, my life and my job is God. And I can tell you there's been one time in my life where God has spoken to me clear as day, and the words he told me was, it's not time yet. And the amount of times where I've had those moments where I've just felt completely wrecked and just all out, you know, thrown to God, just tears and weeping, I can count them on one hand because they don't happen that often. And I've been a Christian as far back as I can remember. I'm a pastor's kid. I've been doing this a long time. And I can tell you, we overhype it so many times, and we over-sensationalize it. And here's the thing I think we've really got to understand, too. Sometimes I feel God, and sometimes I don't. But here's the thing. Go to that next one. If I always felt him, it wouldn't be called faith. You know? If it was always like, oh, there he is. There was the feeling. You know, if I always felt him all the time at 110%, it wouldn't be called faith. And it's called faith. Faith is believing in something and grabbing hold of something that I can't fully comprehend and that I can't fully grasp, right? Maybe it's that, or maybe it's this. Maybe your heart is hardened. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe your heart is hard. In Matthew 13, Jesus said this. He talked about there was a prophecy being fulfilled. And he says, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears. They become callous. Go to that next slide, the rest of the verse. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. So he's talking to the prophets at this time, the prophets and the priests, the most religious people that there are that look the part. And he says, man, you guys, you can't hear me, you can't see me, you can't feel me, you don't even understand who I am, and it's all because you're calloused. Now, I have calluses on my hands. They're very, very bad from weightlifting and, you know, all the years I've done this. And so my hands have grown calluses over them to protect myself, right? To protect my hand, to protect my skin. I've grown these layers and layers of skin that are like always going to be there. And I literally, there are parts of my hand I can't even feel. If you touched it, I can't feel a thing because I'm so calloused, because that scar tissue has built up in order to protect my hands, right? And, you know, for some of us, that's our story, and that's what's keeping us from God, is that we have been so hurt, so wounded, that we've grown calluses over our hearts. We've allowed ourselves to be vulnerable, and we've come close to somebody, and we've gotten burned from it. And so the idea of kind of letting ourselves go into a relationship, even with a God that we can't see, we kind of hold back a little bit because we've been burned and we've been hurt before. Or some of us, we've been so embarrassed before that, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I'm not going to raise my hand in church. Everybody will see me, you know? Everybody will turn and laugh, you know? No, I'm not going to raise my hand at all. There's no way I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go down to the altar because everybody's going to look and everybody's going to talk and everybody's going to be thinking about something in me. And you've been so embarrassed before, something has struck that nerve of your identity, that there's no way that you would ever let yourself kind of be free during worship because that part of you is so calloused. But maybe that's not where the callous comes from. You know, sometimes the callous comes from sin. Because the sin in our life, because of the selfishness, because of the anger, the greed, the lust, the mistakes we've made, the habits that we've decided to become a part of, the addiction, the things that we've allowed into our life have actually grown over our heart. And the reason that we can't feel God or experience God is because there's so much between me and him that's indifferent to him. My anger and my greed and my lust and my sin, my selfishness, it's keeping me from him because that is obviously what I have allowed into my life right now. And then for others of us, it's just simple that we've just kind of put on too much on ourselves. It's not that anything has grown there or built up there. It's almost like we build a blockade from God. So I don't know about you, and you can disagree with me about this, but if I had to choose between like today, like summer, and winter, like cold winter, I choose winter, okay? I will always choose winter over summer. Here's my logic. Hear me out before you write me off, okay? In the summer, if you are hot and you want to get cool, you can only do so much, okay? You can only take off so many layers. You could be butt naked in the street and you'd still be hot, okay? There's only so much you can do to get cool. In the winter, if I'm cold, what do? I just put on more layers. I can get warm in the winter, okay? Summer, I can only do so much. Winter, I can just pack it on. I could put a hat on. I could put long johns on. I could put gloves on. I could put a hoodie on. I could put a jacket on. I mean, I can layer this body up, right? And I can get warm. That's me. And here's the thing. That's where some of us live right now. The reason we can't feel God is because we have put on so much that it is literally covering us from feeling God. The same way that we put layers on to the point where we can't feel the cold any longer, we have put so much on us that has kept us from God. Some of us, we do that with our schedule. We complicate our life and we put on so much on us. We jam-pack our schedule from thing to thing, trip to trip, meeting to meeting, activity to activity, that literally we are so busy that if we are going to pray, I mean, it's going to be for a millisecond. If we're going to worship, it is going to be, you know, in the car for a minute. If we're going to read our scripture, it's just going to be a real quick tick away. It's not going to be studying or looking or researching or anything. It's just going to be real fast because we got to go and we got to go to a thing because we've put on so much on our lives. That we couldn't feel God if we wanted to because life is just too covered up. But here's the thing you got to understand about that. You complicate your life. Your life is as complicated as you choose to make it. Now, some of you will disagree with that. Some of you say, no, I've got to do this and I got to do that. And we couldn't have. No, you decide your extra activities. You choose what you want to be a part of. You choose what you want to give your money to. You choose when you want to be gone, okay? You make your life as complicated as you choose to make it. And here's the honest truth. Some of us, we overcommit ourselves to the point where there's no way we could feel God because there's no room for him to breathe. There's no way he could ever come in. And sometimes that's the thing. We've bundled ourselves up from him instead of exposing ourselves to him. Instead of saying, God, this is all for you. This is your time. Come on in. I mean, you even look at just the church today and where we're at. I mean, you know, like I've said, as when I was a kid, we had church Wednesday night, Sunday school on Sunday morning, then we had worship, then we had church Sunday night. I'm lucky if I can get you guys here for an hour every week. Small groups, are you kidding me? We're super inconsistent at small groups. And most of us don't have time for a small group. Why? Because we don't have time. Because we've overcomplicated our life. So how do you ever expect to feel God when you've allowed your life and your schedule to get that complicated? But maybe it's not that, maybe it's this. Maybe God is playing hard to get. Now you're on to something, preacher. It's not my fault, it's God's. I like this one. Let's go down this path, because I think this one's me. You know, I don't think it's me, I think it's God. I think he's playing hard to get. There's a little bit of truth to this. In Acts, this is what it says, this is what Jesus said to them in Acts. Go to that Acts verse next. From one man, he made all the nations, and they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. So let me explain a little bit of this verse. So this is actually talking about what happened in the Old Testament, right? So if you look at the Old Testament, kind of the history of what goes on, you know, men kind of take a step away from God. They're banished, you know, from the Garden of Eden, and there's this time where they're kind of away, and then God kind of just really pulls them in really, really close and saves them from captivity, takes them to the promised land, and then God uses them to build kingdoms, and he makes them kings and queens and makes them the rulers of the world and blesses the snot out of them. And so here are these kingdoms, and what he found is that the more he blessed them, the less appreciative they became. The closer he pulled himself to them, the more self-reliant they became on themselves. And so there came this point in time where they kind of started to take God for granted and then even just didn't worship God the Father, but started to bring in other gods and other religions and marry outside of the relationships that God had appointed and anointed. And so then God's like, well, geez, guys, you guys are kind of taking advantage of me a little bit. So he kind of went with a new scheme and a new idea. And so he allowed people to come into the kingdoms, invade, and break the kingdoms up. So that the kingdoms, you know, the kingdom of Israel wouldn't just be the kingdom of Israel, it'd be the south and the north, and it would be kind of spread out, and all of a sudden what would have to happen is they have to work for it a little bit, right? And he thought, you know what, if they had to work for it a little bit, then maybe they would actually put some effort into this and they would reach out for me. They would seek for me. And here's the thing. I won't be far away from them at all. They will find me, but it will come to the point where they have to, you know, chase after me a little bit. Here's the thing you got to know about God. God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God, okay? God is the girl who knows how hot she is, and she's going to make you work for it, okay? God knows who he is. God knows what he has to offer. God knows he's the only God. And so here's the thing. He's not going to play this game where you haven't made up your mind yet, okay? Because he knows who he is, and he knows how good he is, and he knows he's the only one for you. So he's not going to put up with you playing the field at all. He's going to wait for you to pursue him and chase after him and show that, baby, you're the only one that I want, okay? God is the football coach who is not going to let you, you know, look at other offers and determine what team you want to be on. No, God doesn't play that game. He knows who the winning team is, and he knows who's going to win in the end. And so he's not going to let you, you know, look at other offers or take your time to think about it. I mean, he knows who he is, and so that's how it is. But he's going to make you work for it, and he's going to make you seek him, and he's going to make you reach out to him. And I love what he says is, I'm not that far away. I'm in arm's length. I mean, I'm not going to make you, you know, kill yourself doing this. I mean, I'm just asking for some effort. If you reach for me, if you seek after me, you will. You'll find me. I'm right there. But so here's the thing we got to understand. God sometimes plays hard to get, but silence doesn't equal absence. Just because he's silent, just because you don't hear him, just because you can't feel him, just because you're not getting anything back in response, silence doesn't mean he's absent. Sometimes what it means is like, come, you know, just reach a little more. Come on, show me. Show me what you want. Show me you really want me. Show me that you really want a relationship for me. I'm waiting for you to show me what you want. So he plays a little hard to get. But here's the thing. Here's the fact of the matter, okay? The fact of the matter is this. The fact of the matter is that feelings aren't facts, number one. The fact of the matter is that feelings aren't facts. Don't trust your feelings because your feelings change and your feelings aren't facts. And that's the thing. Feelings are fleeting. Okay? Relationship with God is a relationship with anybody else. It has its ups and downs. It's a roller coaster, okay? Don't let anybody fool you. It's not an upward thing constantly, you know? It's got loop-de-loops in it. It's got twists and turns. It's got ups and downs. Feelings are fleeting. Don't trust your feelings because your feelings aren't flat facts. Here's the things. Feelings aren't faith either. It's about having faith. And here's the question that you really should be asking yourself. Here's what you really should be going on. Instead of trusting your feelings and going, I don't feel it. I don't know what's wrong with me. Here's the thing. God said in Jeremiah is perfect. It said, you will seek after me and you will find me. When you seek after me with what? All your heart. You will seek after me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you. That's God's promise. So here's the question you should really be asking yourself. Am I seeking after him with all my heart? Don't go off your feelings. Don't go off how many times you've cried. Don't go off the emotions that you feel or how many times you've felt those emotions. Those things are fleeting. Those things aren't facts. Those things aren't faith. Here's the determining question that we all need to ask ourselves. Am I seeking after him with all my heart? Because here's what I can tell you. If you seek after him with all your heart, you will experience him. You will find him. And you will feel him. But if you aren't, if you're just doing this to do this, if you're just doing it to get to the next thing that you've overcomplicated your life with, if you're just trying to jam Jesus into the rest of your schedule that you have many other things to do, you will not feel him. You will not find him because he's playing hard to get. Because he's waiting for you to make up your mind about what's most important to you. And many times to God, it seems like there are much more important things that we need to do. But here's the other thing. Don't over-sensationalize it because it's not all about the feels. Like any other marriage or any other relationship, it's about commitment. And it's about being committed to a relationship where you seek after somebody with all